Good evening, everyone. We're happy that you're able to be out this evening. And we appreciate so much the singing that we just did. The first song about Joshua, Dare to Be Like Joshua, leads into the theme for this evening. Have some wonderful stories in the Bible. It's referred to in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, where there's a great cloud of witnesses which God has prepared for us to remember about His work and the work of faith that makes us so different. And we'd like to look at that with you tonight as we look again at faces of faith. There's a reason why God has put all these in the Bible, and the book of Hebrews chapter 11 particularly has a lot to reference with regard to the fact that God has isolated certain benefits, certain premises, certain characteristics that we ought to emulate in our faith today. And there's a reason why, of course, that those things are put in the Bible. We think about Janice and her loss of her daughter today, or Thursday evening, and recognize that there are times of trial that come along in our life. And you look back in the Bible, and that's true of a lot of people. And those examples are put in the Bible for the very reason that they might help us. The stories of the Bible, especially chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, is not just there by accident. God wasn't just filling in space, because there's a reason why every one of those was characterized as people of faith and how they are to be used as an example to us. Again, as you come to chapter 12 and you recognize that this is a great cloud of witnesses, it's used as an impetus to us to go ahead and finish our race. The idea, of course, is that each of those has finished their race. They're now gone and with their Lord. But we still have to finish our race. We dare not give up. It's so easy sometimes to give up, but we just simply dare not give up. And so we have this idea of faith that is represented in the Bible, and I'd like to use it tonight again to talk about things that have to do with faith and the characteristics that it brings out for us. One of them is that faith is quite genuine. Jesus had a lot to say, particularly in Matthew 23, about the hypocrites and how the hypocrites have discouraged so many people. And I think that had an influence on my children as they have grown up, and possibly other children as well, as they saw the hypocrites among the church, and it discouraged them and gave them a, quote, reason for not following along and being faithful themselves. But the idea of a genuine faith is something that's found in the Bible, and a genuine faith is unfeigned and sincere. That is, it comes from that person's heart. Regardless of who they are, regardless of their circumstances, they persevere. Their faith is not going to let them down. We have those examples that encourage us, and we have to have this resolve within us that there's nothing going to stop us from being a child of God, and our faith is free from hypocrisy. Jesus very seriously condemned the hypocrites in Matthew 23 and other places in his gospel records because they discouraged people. They put on a face. And a hypocrite is said to be an actor. That's what this comes from. Somebody who puts on a false face and they live a lie. And it's the idea, of course, is that's what an actor portrays, a role. It's not their real self, but they portray the role. And a Christian that is not sincere portrays a faith that is not sincere, and therefore they're hypocrites. But genuine faith is not disguised. It's natural. It just comes naturally. It's not something that you have to put on like a mask and take off when you leave. This is something that's just always there and stems from the heart. And it's with you all the time. And that's the important thing to recognize, that this faith is a manner of speaking, a manner of life that we just don't give up. And so we're talking about a genuine faith. In addition to the Hebrew writer, there are also others in the Bible that are referred to as people of genuine faith. And some of the people that really we enjoy looking about and thinking about will be Lois and Eunice, and I pronounce that as Eunice, or Eunice and Lois, as you recognize that they were tremendous in Timothy's life, and that they were something that he saw in them that encouraged him to go ahead and be the same kind of person. And I think this is the idea that is in the Bible, that that ought to encourage us to go ahead and be the same kind of person. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul wrote to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Now Paul had the Holy Spirit. He could recognize falsity. He could recognize hypocrisy. And he talked about some who were false teachers because he knew them. But he knew that Timothy was a true child in the faith. In Acts 16, in his travels, the Apostle Paul came to Timothy's home, and when he found Timothy, he was willing to, prepared to go with Paul and to be a helper with Paul in his work of the gospel. In Acts 16, 1 and 2, he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted him to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And so you have a divided household. And I want to assure you that it's more difficult to raise faithful children in a divided household, where you have one as a Christian and the other is not. Many times that one who is not a Christian pulls the children away after himself or herself. But in this case, you had this mother and grandmother of Timothy, and they lived such a genuine life of faith that Timothy went with them, and that's quite an accomplishment. So there are a number of lessons that comes out of this for us. That is, no matter what the circumstances may be, not the best of circumstances, then you have one who can become a child of God because of the godly influence of mother and grandmother. Now, I had that in my own life. My father was not a believer, and my mother was. And she lived such a good life, a simple life, but a life of faith, that it really affected me deeply and made me recognize genuine faith. And so you have this true in Timothy as well. And throughout the travels of Paul and the various things that he did, you had the fact that Paul recognized Timothy as the kind of person that he was. Romans 16, verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, and my countrymen, greet you. So Timothy was with him in most of his travels. Sometimes Timothy was given a mission to go in other places, as he was in our class this morning as we studied Thessalonica. But Timothy could be relied upon. And you have all kinds of references to him through the Gospels. As you recognize that he was a companion to Paul, he was always willing to do what Paul wanted him to do. In verse 17 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And so he had Timothy, who was his constant. He could be relied upon. He could be sent to do a job, and he'll always be able to do that. So when you look at Timothy, it's a wonderful thing to see the genuine faith that is in him. But the source of it was his grandmother and his mother, who were also faithful and was able to influence him in the right kind of way. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, let me get to 2 Timothy, and in verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night. And he's writing to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, as I am persuaded is in you also. So he's talking to Timothy, who had this genuine faith. And it's a faith that echoed his mother and grandmother. And sometimes I'm quite sure that in the process of living a life of faith, we influence people without knowing it. I had a cousin's wife who died this year. Her name was Doris. And when my cousin JT married her, she was not a Christian. But her mother-in-law, they lived with them for a while, a mother-in-law, and she noticed her mother-in-law reading the Bible every day. as just part of what she did. She read the Bible every day. And that aroused in Doris the interest to find out what was in the Bible. And finding out, she obeyed the gospel as well. I think sometimes without realizing it, when you're just at work, when you're among the public, when you're doing things the way you do things because of your genuine faith, that it has this kind of influence. And so we look at Eunice and Joyce, at Lois's faith that was sincere. And that's what, then, one of the characteristics of faith is, that we really be sincere. Now, you don't have to really think about it every day to be sincere. You just live it. And you really mean it. And that's what it means to be sincere in those kinds of things. Then we look at Tabitha's faith. In Acts chapter 9, we have the record of Tabitha. And not much is known about her. But she's one of those people that God wanted in the Scriptures, because she will be able to be a good example to us and give us some characteristics of what faith is often about. In chapter 9 of the book of Acts, in verse 36, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. It happened in those days that she became sick and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to an upper room. All the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, rise." She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. When she had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Now, it's not just important that she was risen from the dead. What was really a characteristic that we want to know about her, that the Bible placed her here that we might see this, is the fact that her faith was genuine and that she did good deeds. I remember a lady who was an elder's wife in North Carolina. Many times I would go out to visit the sick and visit members who were not faithful, trying to get them to come back. And Sister Seton had been there in front of me. And she was a godly woman, and she didn't talk about this. I just find out about it because I happened to follow in her footsteps. She was often there before I was. Now, her son is a dear friend of mine, and he's a gospel preacher today, largely because of his father and mother and their faith. And it has this influence. And you recognize that we're living in this way to keep the faith going from generation to generation. The book of Deuteronomy had some things in it that God wanted the Jews to tell the generations yet to come. And they were spreading that faith. But Dorcas was known for her faith. We don't know much about her, her life, or anything about her, except that she just did good deeds. And that's what happens when people have faith. They do those kinds of deeds, and active in good deeds. So it's not that you do something just to show people how good you are. You're doing it for others because of the need of that. And that's something that leaves us a lesson, that a genuine faith is concerned about other people and how you might be able to help those other people. I've noticed in this congregation how tender-hearted people are toward Sister Merle. You don't get recognition for it or anything of that nature, but you're just doing it because you love her and because that you share a common faith. And there are others who do the same kind of thing. But Tabitha was that way because her faith was genuine and she did good things. Now, another one that's mentioned in the Bible that's not in Hebrews 11, and of course there are many stories that are full of that, in Luke chapter 21, we have a widow that is mentioned. And we have many widows today, and we have to recognize that sometimes I hear people say, "Well, why am I still here?" I've heard Merle say that. "Why am I still here?" Well, here's the good example that people leave. And here was a widow that was very poor. And Jesus was in the temple. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. Now, one of the things that I enjoyed when I was in Israel was being able to buy a mite or two. And you recognize that that little coin might have been through the treasury in the temple, or in common use, because it was used by the poor all the times. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in the livelihood that she had." In other words, she gave everything she had. What was she going to eat tomorrow? She didn't know, but she knew she had to serve God. And this gives us the idea that sometimes genuine faith is sacrificial. And you're doing something in a sense that you see something that others don't see, and you act upon the principle of what you see in the spirit world. And that does touch each of us when we think about the fact that, like Abraham, he looked for the city whose builder and maker is God. He saw that in his faith. And I have in my faith seen that. And we studied the book of Revelation, and the chapter 22 talks about that very city. And while it's something that I couldn't draw, I couldn't really describe it to you beyond the words of Revelation 20, nevertheless, it's something that I hope to be there. Don't you? I know that you do. That we're going to see the 12 gates. That we're going to see the saints. And we're all going to be there. And when you see that, it changes your outlook on this life. Because these things are not really that important. And every once in a while I read about a football player that's become wealthy. And they sometimes build a foundation for the poor, or for children, or for the sick, or something, because they see that football is just a game. Really, it's just a game. Now, they're well paid in their game, and yet they recognize there's something bigger than just the game. And so they'll be generous in what they do for others, and that's commendable. But what makes us what we are these principles that are found in these stories in the Bible that describe us, the kind of faith that they had, that's so sincere and so real because they've seen something others don't see, and that's heaven. And that moves me, and that moves you. And so here's this widow's faith. There's another woman, not a widow, but the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm not going to read those particular verses. I hope that you'll look them up later and read them. But Elisha had found a woman that was generous in taking care of him. She would prepare a place for him to sleep. She would prepare food for him. And she did not have any children. But through the prayers of Elisha, she conceived and bore a child. And then one day that child died. And she just knew that Elisha could tend to it. She just knew that Elisha could help her. And she had that genuine faith that here was the man of God. In this particular chapter, he's referred to many times as the man of God. And as the man of God, she sent to him to let him know that her child was dead. And Elisha came back to her home and ushered everybody out and put his face on that boy's face, put his eyes on his eyes, and put his mouth on his mouth, and the child lived again. Now again, the fact that this child came back from the dead was not the important thing. It's not going to happen sometimes to us. We're not going to see miracles like that in our day. But our faith takes the place of that. Because when things happen, as they often happen, that hurt you to the core. And that's why I pray, deliver us from the evil one. Because the devil can make such a change in such a short period of time and turn your world upside down. I know he's done that to me in times past. But my trust is in God. And that's the kind of trust this Shunammite woman had. Regardless of what happened, she knew that there was a man of God. And so she's often mentioned because of that. Faith that is persuasive and persistent. Faith is not Well, there are different kind of verbs in the Greek language. One is the punctiliar, which is like a dot. It's just a period in time. And then there's another kind of tense of the verbs that's durative, that goes on and on and on. And this is the kind of life and faith that we have. I don't have faith at 10 o'clock tomorrow and then don't have it any other time. Faith is something that's in you. It's a part of you. And these examples that have been given to us show us that we're supposed to be like that and have faith that lasts continually and doesn't give up. And so our lesson tonight is drawn from God's intent in Hebrews 12:1 that we include in our vision this cloud of witnesses. They're just across the finish line in paradise, and they're saying, we have overcome, and you can overcome too if you have this faith. And so a genuine faith is a sincere faith. Nothing acting about it. It's not something that we put on. It's active in good deeds. It's willing to give and to sacrifice like that widow. We don't even know her name, do we? But Jesus saw her, and he saw the willingness to sacrifice. And then in the Shunammite woman, we see this persistent faith. I know that God will work good in my life. I know that. Oh, there are valleys. There are times when things are low and depressing. But that faith lifts me out of that and sets me on the road to tomorrow. Because God is always there. I think it's a really good thing that we do read the book of Psalms to start our worship services. It sets our tone. It sets our mind on things that God has done for David and others. And it lifts up in the spirit to make us recognize that we serve the same God that Abraham did. We serve the same God that David did. And the relationship that we can have with God is secure as the one that Abraham had, and as secure as the one that David had. He failed on different occasions, and yet he always came back to God. And I think that should characterize us as well. So here's the lesson for you then tonight, that you recognize that we have faith. And it is something that you can't weigh. It's something that you can't talk about how big it is, how far it is, how wide it is. It's just there. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, then you're able to face the future and know that you're going to win. I hope that you have that kind of faith, because that's what